The Gospel of John, chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, How are your eyes opened? He answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received my sight. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. This incredible story takes place at the end of a long debate that Jesus had had with the Pharisees. Back in chapter 8, they were asking him if he thought that he, Jesus, was greater than Abraham. And Jesus told them, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. And was glad, and they got angry, and they said, You're not yet 50 years old. How can you say that Abraham has seen you and you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said, Before Abraham was, I am. And they would have immediately recognized what he said. Because the phrase that Jesus used when he said, I am, is the same phrase that the Old Testament uses talking about God. God the Father. And so Jesus was saying to them, I am God. And John records that they took up stones and were going to stone him. Blasphemy to call himself God. And a curious note by John says, he hid himself and went out. And then as he's going on his way, going home, or wherever the next stop was on the ministry, he comes by a man who's blind, born blind. And evidently somebody in the crowd knew that because they asked Jesus, who sinned that this man was born blind? Was it the man himself or did his parents sin? Incredible question that we probably would never ask today, but you see, in that day, there was a belief that a baby inside of his mother's womb could sin. And they said, was it his fault or was it his parents' fault that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither one sinned. This is for the glory of God. And he dismisses that theological argument of the relationship between sin and suffering and says, neither one sinned. This was permitted to bring glory to God, to show the power and the glory of God in this circumstance. People today take one of two positions about God and about evil. Either God is omnipotent, and because He allows evil to exist, He's not good. Or they say, God is good and would like to prevent evil, but He cannot, therefore He is not omnipotent. But this story tells us God will bring good out of evil, and all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. And both of those arguments are spurious. Now, leaving all of that behind, let's watch Jesus. As He sees this man who's been born blind, stops, and there on that muddy, dusty trail, spits on the ground, mixes his saliva up with the soil that's there, takes that mud and puts it on the blind man's eyes. You know what he was doing? Original manufacturer's replacement parts. Because the book of Genesis says, God made man out of the dust of the earth. So it's like going to get your car fixed and getting original manufacturer's replacement parts to fix your car. That's what Jesus is doing. And He tells the man with this mud on his face, go to the pool called Siloam and wash. And you kind of watch as he goes. He's perhaps has a cane and he's tapping along. I went to college with a man who was born blind, and he could get all over the campus, buildings, dorms, classrooms, and by himself with his cane and his memory. And here goes this man to the pool, and when he gets to the pool, he washes his face with the water that's in there, and for the first time in his life, he can see. I can't begin to imagine the thrill and the joy that's going through his heart at that moment to be able to see for the first time. And he looks around at the buildings and he sees the well and he sees the people. Maybe he thinks about his parents and brothers and sisters, if he has any, that he's never seen. And for the first time in his life, he can see. And the most wonderful face of all, he has not yet seen. That's the face of the man who healed him. Because Jesus put the mud on his eyes and said, go wash it off. And he's never seen the face of the man who healed him. Now, he sees his neighbors. And some of them look at him and say, is that the fella that used to sit and beg and was born blind? And some of them said, yeah, that's him. And others said, well, it looks like him. And he put an end to the debate and he said, listen, it's me. I'm the same man. And they said, what happened to you? He said, well, a man named Jesus stopped by. Have you noticed that this miracle is all at the movement of Jesus? Jesus will heal people who are blind who will call out to Him and beg Him for the miracle of recovering their sight. And He heals them. But this man, sitting there, no idea who it is walking by, doesn't know that maybe from the sound of the shuffling feet that anybody's coming by. Jesus, at His own initiative, touches this man, provides the miracle of healing for this man. And I want to stop just for a moment and say one word. Grace. What an incredible Lord we serve. What an incredible God we serve that reaches out to us in our needs, in what's going on in our lives, and touches us before ever we have a chance to ask Him, before ever we have a chance to lift our prayers. And Jesus stopped, made the mud, put it on his face, sent him off, and healed him. This is all at the movement of Jesus. A man called Jesus stopped by where I was sitting and told me to go wash the mud off. I went and I could see. And this is so unusual that they take him to the Pharisees. These neighbors, these people who knew him or thought they knew him or said maybe it is, took him to the Pharisees. And it's the Sabbath. And to the Pharisees, Jesus has violated the Sabbath. So the fact that this man that was born blind is healed doesn't mean a thing at all to them. And they say, the man, you see, said he's a prophet. The Pharisees say he can't be from God because he healed on the Sabbath. He's broken the Sabbath. How could this man be a sinner and do miracles? And the man repeats, he's a prophet. That's the highest tribute that you could pay to a person in that day. The Samaritan woman, when she's sitting by the well, and we'll talk about her story in future Sundays, said, I perceive you're a prophet. And the Jews are unwilling to believe. And so they summon his mother and dad, and they say, is this your son? Yeah, he's our boy. Was he born blind? Yes, he was. Well, tell us how he got healed. We don't know. You ask him. He's a man. You ask him yourself. He's of age. Ask him. And this thing, as you read on in the Gospel of John, becomes almost funny, if it wasn't so tragic. And the Pharisees continue and they say, this man was a sinner. Confess it. You claim he's healed you. He's a sinner. And the man who had been born blind said, listen, whether he was a sinner or not, I don't know. But I do know one thing. I was born blind. And now I can see. And the Pharisees repeat it. And he says, I've already told you. Didn't you hear? Would you like to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples? And there's a certain amount of irony in that, and there's a certain amount of sincerity in it as well. He thought so much of Jesus that he was interested to bring these badgering Pharisees to know Jesus and to trust Jesus. No matter what their thought of Jesus is, he knows that Jesus has done something in his life. And they said, are you trying to teach us? Are you trying to preach to us? You who were altogether born in sin? And instead of rejoicing at the miracle of the healing of this man, they excommunicate him. They throw him out of the synagogue. He's been sitting there all his adult life begging, has never been able to see until this day. And instead of rejoicing in the miracle that God has healed him, they throw him out of the church. They put him out of the synagogue. And to be excommunicated from the synagogue was one of the worst things that could happen to a Jew. Because nobody in the synagogue would have anything to do with you. They were probably all your friends, neighbors, people you shopped with, people you worked with. And in extreme cases, your family wouldn't even talk to you or have anything to do with you. Now keep all of that in mind as you hear the next part of the story. Jesus goes looking for the man. He's already stopped and in his own initiative has worked the miracle of healing. And now with this man banned from the synagogue, facing whatever ill will is going to come from that, from the people in the synagogue, the people in the community, even maybe members of his family, Jesus goes looking for him and sought him and found him. Do you remember John talks about the good shepherd? What man among you, Luke writes this story, what man among you being a shepherd has 100 sheep? 99 of them are back safe, one of them is lost. He leaves the 99 and goes and looks for the one that was lost. Here's the good shepherd seeking for the one sheep that was lost. The one that was excommunicated, shunned, ostracized, scorned. And he finds him. And he says to him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" Now the man has never seen Jesus until just this moment. Surely he remembers his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they recognize my voice." And the man says, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus says, "The one who's talking with you, I am he." And the man who had been born blind said, "Lord, I believe," and worshiped him. What an incredible story. What an incredible conversation. What an incredible ministry. Jesus, of his own initiative, brings healing to the man without being asked. And here in the 21st century, with all that's going on around us, the same Lord, the same Jesus, the same Christ reaches out to us, His children, with gifts of love and mercy and ministry without ever having to be asked. And then, when we need something extra, something special, something more, He comes looking for us. And like that shepherd Luke talked about, He looks until He finds us. And no matter where you are today, no matter what's going on in your mind and in your heart, that Savior's looking for you. The need that you have, the ache that you have, the desire that you have, the unfulfilled spiritual moment that you have, Jesus is looking for you. And like that man, I don't know a lot, but I do know that I was born blind, and now I can see. And we can take that testimony out of this house and to those we come in contact with, share that glorious gospel story. One thing I know, this was my need. This was my life. And Jesus touched me. And now I'm no longer the same.